in Christ. Our eyes are flooded with light. The wisdom that is found in Christ is received in this service. There's no contradiction. There's no error. We receive accuracy, simplicity, and clarity in Christ Jesus. And our eyes behold Him as He sees us in Him. Amen. Matthew 16. Living supernaturally. Living supernaturally. Hallelujah. See, I can live supernaturally. Matthew 16, verse 12. Remember, we read that last week. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, others Elijah, or some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then he said to them, "But whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Pay attention. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." He used the word reveal. Reveal is from the word apokalypsis. Apokalypsis has two words in it. The first one is the word apo. Apo means away from, okay? And then the word kalupto. The word kalupto means to cover something. To put something under a cover. Apokalyptos. That is, if I say apokalyptos, that means I remove the cover. So, in other words, he says, "My Father removed the cover. My Father has removed the cover for you." And that's why you are able to say what you said. The word kryptos, where you have the word kalyptos, is from the word to conceal. In other words, pay attention. Jesus is flesh and blood, that is, his physical appearance concealed who he really was. It concealed who he really was. And so men saw his physical presence, but many times did not know who he really was. So the flesh and blood can be a concealment of the reality of someone. For example, when you got born again, you discover that you did not change your height. You didn't go shorter or taller. I think some people went shorter. I think I know them. You didn't go shorter or taller or bigger. And yet the grace of God is upon my life. No, you're just the same person. If there was any changes in your physical body, you did it yourself. For example, I had to remove my hair cost. Because I have to be a new creature in reality. You remove your hair cord, then you change it to skin. Because skin is sanctified. Something like that. But you see, flesh and blood says, shall not reveal this unto you, but my Father. In other words, flesh and blood doesn't uncover that. The physical appearance of Jesus was a major stumbling block. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:16. 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, "We have known Christ after the flesh." We have known Christ after the flesh. We have known Him by physical appearance. We have known Christ after the flesh. Notice the first thing He says, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh." He says, "We have known Christ after the flesh." Which captures the four Gospels. We've known Christ after the flesh. He said, "But we don't know Him anymore that way." In other words, if you don't know Him after the flesh, you will know Him by the Spirit. So He says, "We don't know any man after the flesh. We know men by the Spirit." And that's why he says, the man who has not been saved, in the next chapter, he says, "What fellowship had light with darkness?" You are not expected to see light and darkness in the person's dress. "What concord had Christ with Belial?" He said, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Unbelievers are those who have not believed the gospel. If a guy is lovely, is nice, is great, you know, he's a sweet guy or a sweet woman and wonderful. And then you say, have you heard about the gospel of Christ? And he says, I have. It's not true. He's nice, but he's darkness. His physical appearance may not be dark. It's a light and darkness. He said, the temple of idols. The moment you know somebody has not believed the gospel, that is his spiritual nature. He may be a good guy. You say, well, he fears God. Who won't fear God? He fears God, and you want to marry him, or you want to marry her, and then Satan becomes your father-in-law. Something like that. So your kids are going to be jointly shared. So sometimes you visit the father's mother. Mind my parable. But the truth is, that's the spiritual identity. So by faith or otherwise, I know what is behind the flesh and blood. I know what's behind it. A guy can be horrible in his conduct, but he's light in the Lord. A guy can be wonderful in his conduct, but he's darkness. We know no man after the flesh. So there. But the guy reads the Bible too. He reads the Bible and the Quran, and then Shintoist. He reads Great Message. He's a wonderful guy. All right now. So he says, we know no man after the flesh. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, when Peter was talking about the woman, and he talks about the woman, how she should win over her husband who is not a believer. He says in 1 Peter 3, verse 1, that if your husband is not doesn't believe the word, Peter says that, then he says, look, by your chaste conversation in verse 2, coupled with fear, whose adorning, he says, let it not be the outward or plating of air, or wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. He says, look, the way you will be a wonderful wife isn't by what you wear primarily. He's not saying you do not look so funny, that your husband looks at you and all he sees is spiritual. No, he isn't saying that at all. He just says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. The word there is cryptos. The hidden man of the heart in that which is incorruptible, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So that means in the sight of God, what God sees in you is in the spirit. It's in the spirit. So why did Paul say this, and why did Jesus say that as well? It means that the new creature is supernaturally known. Why our birth is spiritual. We did not answer altar call. That's not it. We did not change church. We did not change mode of behavior. I told you, salvation is not change of habit. But salvation changes your habit. Your habit never changes because you are saved. Your habit changes because you are walking in the word. It's not because you don't stop being angry because you got born again. But because you got born again, you now have self-control. Now you can walk in the spirit. And that's why many of us, we went for altar call till the altar broke into pieces. We thought that, things I used to do, I do them no more. I said the things I used to do, I do them no more. If people change instantaneously because they are born again, then there will be no verbs in the epistles. There are verbs in the epistles. You have walk, do, amen, put away, refuse, walk in, walk away from, run. Which means that the verbs are action words you have to take. That's what changes your conduct. But you can be born again and you will retain the old habit till you start to look at yourself. Like the song that Sister Blessing sang earlier today. I am who he says I am. You affirm that reality and walk in the light of it. Are you still out there? You are not doing it for God to accept you. God has accepted you. You are already his son. That's the difference between moral works and walking in the word. I'm not living right so that I avoid hell. I've avoided hell 2,000 years before now. I'm living right to glorify Christ. The moment Christ is not in my conduct, but it's for me, and what people say, I'm not saying, is self-righteousness. Are you still out there? So, you know a believer by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. So, our birth, he's spiritual. Look at John 3:8. We read that last week. After Jesus spoke about the new birth, which he called anagenaho, that is, what came, we were born out of this place. We were born anew. Many folks think born again is born twice. No. The word again is the word anew. That is, born outside this place. That is, born out of the flesh, not from the flesh. That's what born again means. And so he says in verse 3, John 3:8, he says, the wind bloweth where he listeth. The wind bloweth where he listeth. Let me go back to what I said earlier. Those who preach salvation instantaneously changes your habits breed hypocrites. That's what they do. They breed hypocrites. And you have people stuff in their heart, but they don't do it because of men. Not because of the word of God. Not because of who they are in Christ. So, that kind of doctrine raises hypocrites. Or like my father would say, hypocrites. I know he has a way of saying it that I never got to change him. John 3:8. The wind blows where he listed, but where he wants. And he uses the word Thelema, or Thelo, T-H-E-L-O, which means by his own design, peculiar to it. The wind blows. The word blows again is another word for spirit. It's the word neo, P-N-E-O, breathe. The same word you'll find in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God. The wind blows, that's what's neo Christos. The wind blows where he wants. Now, Jesus is using the parable here. The wind blows where he wants. He says, you hear the sound. You cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going to. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Listen carefully. That means men who are born of the Spirit are born by God's design. They don't have to fit into our own nomenclature or the way we think. They are born by God's design. Many times we don't think people are born again because they don't fit into what we think. I remember my son, Craig, said this one time. He said his teacher told him, or someone said in his class, that if somebody has a tattoo on his body, he's going to hell. He said, no, it's not true. He said, nobody goes to hell because he has a tattoo on his body. And by the way, most of our grandfathers and great-grandfathers had tattoos. My grandmom has tattoos. And other things that are not just tattoos. Anybody who say you fought a lion, something like that. So he says, no, it's his faith in Christ is why people go to hell or not. That's so simple. You need somebody to help you misunderstand it. You know, faith in Christ. So, he says, it's by God's design. He says, the wind blows where it listens. So, Jesus takes Nicodemus, because when he had been born again, Nicodemus said, my mother's womb. So, he had to use water. So, when somebody says, my mother's womb, when you say born again, you just have to say, okay, water. You can understand water cleansing. Oh, the Spirit. Oh, the water, the Spirit. Okay, so he said, you still don't get it. The wind. Blowing where the wind is there. You hear the sound. Say, do you hear the sound? Yes. You can't tell where it's coming from? No, Rabbi, no. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And then they went forth. And Nicodemus, you know, now still asks in verse 9, how can these things be? Can you see the question he's asking? A G.O. How can these things be? He said, what we call Nigeria something. Are thou a masked man of God? A G.O. with many churches under you, and knoweth not these things. After I use water and wind, you are still asking, how can these things be? He said, I say unto you, we speak what we do know, and test what we have seen, and you see not our witness. Can we take verse 12 together? If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, what were the earthly things he told you? the water, and the wind. The word earthly there, just let's do some word study, is the word epigenios. I'll spell it for you. E-P-I-G-E-I-N-O-S. E-P-I-G-I-N-O-S. It's used for things that describe, or you use earthly things to describe, physical things. For example, 1 Corinthians 15:40, verse 2, talking about the physical body. And 2 Corinthians 5:1, our earthly tabernacle. Our earthly tabernacle. Philippians 2:10, the things in the earth. The things in the earth. Philippians 3:19. James 3:15. I'll take it again. 1 Corinthians 15:4, two times. Earthly. 2 Corinthians 5:1, our earthly tabernacle. Philippians 2:10, the things of the earth. Philippians 3:19, they do mind earthly things. James 3:15, this wisdom is from the earth. So, he uses this terminology to describe what he just explained. He's saying, I have spoken of wind. I have spoken of water. And you still do not understand. If I now remove those things, you just be looking like Lucozy. You know, some people like sermons that have stories. Big stories. As a younger Christian, I hated the epistles. Just stories. I, Paul, an apostle, grace unto you. To those who are sanctified. But I like stories like the Good Samaritan. He felt, are you a Good Samaritan? Are you a prodigal son? No, nice stories. The unprofitable servant. Somebody who acted a movie. That movie is one of the movies that I will never forget. Where someone says, I want to accept Jesus. He said, time is up. Time is gone. You should have done it yesterday. But now, hellfire. And he was still alive. He said, time is gone. Uncomfortable servant. The title is correct. Find out who the servant is. That means things. And you can't understand. So guy said, what the church is, what Bible study, there should be lively things. Like as the pastor is preaching, he will just bring out yam to describe the glory of God. He'll bring out the shawarma to explain how the Spirit works in us. He then will speak everything. Water and wind. Hallelujah. So what if I speak everything? Praise the Lord. That is something you cannot see. Oporanos. Something you cannot see. So the new birth is something that we can't see with the physical eyes. We cannot see it. It's a spiritual fact. If I let me tell you, you don't feel salvation. I felt you don't feel salvation. You only know salvation. I'll take it again. The new birth is not something you feel, it's something you know. You don't feel it. You can feel the keyboard. And you know, sometimes you do that salvation. If you do that salvation, you're feeling like a sinner. You know, you can have some songs that you are emotionally attached to. There are some songs I sang then that when I hear it today, I know they are not right scripturally, but I still like them. Who has that song like that? You just like it. And sometimes, I don't sing them by faith, but I just sing them. I like them. It reminds me of whatever. But the point is, you can feel like this is salvation. That's not salvation. Salvation is known, or the new birth is known by revelation. By revelation. That's why when people begin to give altar calls like, if you are here, and you are here to give your life to Christ, come out. And people are small. They say, you are here. You won't give your life to Christ. See dimension. But you see in your heart You know where you are now is not where you ought to be. That's all of us, including the preacher. You know deep down your heart. As I'm speaking now, and it's the one bringing the feeling. As I'm speaking now, you are feeling, you know. And the guy keeps saying it. You know. When he sees that you are still not coming out, that the Christ will come today, right now. This very minute. He will not go with you. Come out. So they'll bring sons and outsiders together, all getting born again together. If that has happened to you before, sorry. That happened to me before. You were never sure. Never sure. Any new sermon, you are shaking. Four symptoms of the spirit of Adonijah. Yeah. You are with Adonijah. He will show you. I'm who the world says I am. So, pay attention now. The truth about the believer is known by the Spirit. So sometimes your experiences, I'm going to talk to this later, might even deny you of that reality. It might deny you. So the new birth is a spiritual fact. That's why the book of Acts does not record a truth about the new birth. It only recorded actions. The new birth is not an action. So, what the book of Acts will record is they believed. They believed. They joined the church. You will never find the book of Acts saying they became new creatures. Because you can't write down one like a journalist. It is known by revelation. People come for altar calls and they are not saved. They are not. Some come out because of scare. I remember one time that we acted a drama. That drama was bad enough. We said, it can this convict people in our drama? It will convict people. We wanted to convict even those who think they are Christians and they are not. So we added some terrible things. Added some terrible words. And people came out. There was somebody like that. He was in the children. I knew when he received Christ. But somehow, you know, I was not satisfied. So we were through with the drama. I was looking at him. He was not coming out. I just added something to the script. You are here. And you know in your heart, you're supposed to come out. And you are saying this prayer in your heart. We are not coming out. Remember Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, it is not the night you come out. When he got up, I was happy. I said, yes. I felt fulfilled that I had worked for the devil. Very ridiculous. So the book of Acts doesn't record this because it's of the Spirit. You only know it by revelation. Look at Luke 24. There are times you wake up and you don't feel like a Christian. It's normal. How many of you feel like a human being? You just know you are a human being. When you see dog, many times you know you are not a dog. You say, I just feel like a human being today. I don't feel like a human being today. We'll get you a doctor. You are who you are. I'm who the world says I am. Luke 24, are you there? This is Jesus and his own disciples. And the Bible says he spoke to them in verse 25. He said, "O fool, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And begin at Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now listen to something. In verse 32, see their testimony. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? The word there is there, no guilt. To open afresh like something that was blind can now see. He opened our hearts. So in other words, it's a spiritual fact. It's not a feeling. It's not an experience of the senses. In verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He opened their understanding. It's not an altar call. Now, I know altar calls are not evil. We have stopped it as a church. Not because it's wrong. But you see, it was introduced in the 16th century by, I know the person who introduced altar calls. It never existed before then, 16th or 15th century. It was so that it was a particular evangelical era where people had to just come out of denominations to profess Christ. So they did that, and so it went into the crusades and the evangelistic services. It was just to take account of those who had come out boldly to profess Christ. But you see, that was okay for that era, but we mustn't place premium on people getting up and coming out and saying a prayer. Because a new birth is spiritual. It's by faith. People have come out and they never heard the gospel. Have you seen books like that? They'll talk about romance, marriage, life issues, Nigeria, elections. They'll talk about Fulani men. They'll talk about OPC. They'll talk about Jesu. They'll talk about Africa, Winnie Mandela. They'll talk about Pharaoh. They'll talk about business. They'll talk about Nigeria. They'll talk about generational causes and generational blessings. And they'll talk about generational causes. And they'll talk about the village, the ancestral spirit. And when they are done, they say, if you want to give your life to Christ. Which one of the subjects are you giving your life to? That does not produce the new birth. What produces the new birth is the gospel. The truth about Christ's work. How you know it's the gospel is you have nothing to do but to just accept it. The moment that something is added to it, that's not the gospel. It is the gospel because you do nothing. You only accept what's been done. So, the disciples here, he says, we knew in our hearts. In verse 45, he said, it opened their understanding, the word there is no who, the mindset, that they might understand the scriptures. Understand the scriptures. So, salvation is not an action. The new birth is not your action. The new birth is received by faith. It's not your coming out or your saying something. Your saying affirms what you have believed. You don't say to be saved. You say because you have believed. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that is believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Romans chapter 10 verse 9, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. The confession affirms what you have believed. You don't confess to salvation, you confess for salvation, or you confess with salvation. Pardon me. Just pray after me. Say after me. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I come to you today. Come to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, accept me. Take me. Don't throw me away. Be my Father. Be my. No. That's. You can say all that and you didn't hear anything. You see books written with nothing about Christ. At the end of the book, sinner's prayer. Is the writer not the sinner? No. So the new birth is spiritual. Their hearts burn. He opened his their understanding. John 20. Are you learning something here? John 20. Verse 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them. Remember the word breathed on. I'll go over it again. John 20. Verse 22. The word breathed there is the word empusao. E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. Is used for an internal work. An internal work. That is to quicken someone inside. So what Jesus said quickened their heart. It's descriptive. The moment he said that, watch this. As he explained the gospel to them, their hearts quickened. And what he did to them was what John now said, he breathed on them. Or better still, he breathed in them. Temples out. It was not like that. That's not salvation. It was the explanation of the scriptures that John made by he breathed in them. The same thing we read earlier on. He opened in their understanding. Did our hearts not burn within us? That's the new birth. So it's not an experience, even though it produces experiences. In Luke 24:52, after their hearts were opened, watch this. Luke 24:52, scripture says, and they worshipped him after Jesus had left for heaven, in that sense, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It's not a great joy. The word is megacharos. That is a very heavy rejoicing. You know, that was because of what they heard. Go check it. Joy is the response to the gospel. Joy, great joy, is the response to the gospel. Back then we'll preach, and then we'll look at the anointing is measured by tears. And when you're going to the pulpit, you are frowning already. Because your message is frowning. Shall we pray? Then you stare at people and say, Father, as we open your word, Almighty God, open the book for us. Speak from your throne. Which throne? Open the Bible. What throne? Who is speaking from the throne? Then he said, they will want to share as we speak to them. Let our hearts be convicted. Amen. They are from Naaman. Oh, you know it. Was the covenant laws of Syria. Noah! What is the bug in your life? You may be in the choir. You play like a machine. What is the bug in your life? You can go for the Bible hour. You are the Bible study. You are there every day and every night. Boom! There's a boss in your life, bro. Check your heart. Check your life. Some of you will say, well, sir, bro, I'm giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. To God, what belongs to God. On that day, you will recognize Caesar. If you don't know this sermon, I will tell you where you don't know the gospel. Are you busy? Are you be happy? Are people are coming out? Take me back. Eh? Take me back, Lord, to the place where I must live. Ask him to take you back. Take you back to that place where you were broken and shattered. When you truly met the Lord and your heart began to burn for him. How would someone take you back to where you first believed? Look at it. To where you first believed. Do you know the hall? Hallelujah. I'm who the world says I am. I have what the world says I have. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, hallelujah, but incorruptible seed, that is, the process of the new birth cannot be altered. By the word of God, corruptible seed. What do you mean by corruptible seed or incorruptible seed, pardon me? 1 Peter 1:2 now explains it. 1 Peter 1:2. Are you in church? Are you in church? 1 Peter 1:2. Elect, he says, according to the promise of God and Father, the Father, through the power of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, hallelujah, into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus' resurrection cannot be reversed, the new birth cannot be reversed. That's what he's saying. He uses the same term, anagenaho, born again. He says it's spiritual. It's not a physical thing. 1 Peter 2:5. You also are living stones. Say, I'm a living stone. Come on, say, I'm a living stone. I built up a spiritual house. Say, we're a spiritual house. So it's a spiritual fact. It's a spiritual fact. It's not a change of clothes. It's not a change of hairdo. It's not a change of whatever. It's not even a change of church. Hallelujah. I'm born again. I'm born of the Father. That's my reality. You need to understand that the spiritual truth of who you are is your reality. Your feelings are not always your reality. Most of the time, they are not your reality. Your reality is the world. So those times they gave altar calls and you came out, it was your feelings that guided you. If you were guided by the word, can you imagine? There was a sermon like that. I remember 1989. When I listened to that sermon, if you listen to that sermon halfway, and you are not crying, your heart is hard. Why throne judgment? Why throne judgment? Years later, when I was exposed to the truth of the word, I remember the first day I read that righteousness was a gift. I was angry at myself. I read John Austin. He said, gift? Gift? What? And I saw it. And I began to grow in the word. I read Brother Higgins, read people like E.W. Kenyon. The next time I heard that sermon, I was laughing. What changed? My feelings changed because I was now exposed more to the reality of who I really was. So some sermons affect you because you do not understand the truth of God's word. They affect you. When we heard about the rapture those days, I heard about the rapture, will you be ready when we're never ready? I will be ready, ready, I will be ready, I will be ready when the Lord shall come. And then today, you sing the same song and you're laughing. Why? Your experiences have changed because what you are listening to have changed. Revelation alters your experience. It alters your feelings. Your feelings. As a younger fellow, I was told to preach one sermon. One sermon. 15 minutes. This is not 5 minutes. 15 minutes. I was running away from preaching. Christian, no? They said, you are preaching today. There's nothing you can do. So I went to look for a sermon or some scriptures that would take 10 minutes to read. My prayer was already a sermon. Father, touch our heart. Better let us pray. In the 15 minutes. So I tell that the time will not go fast. I look at the list. As the word ended, the clock was still moving small, small. I read all the scripture and I preached. Sanctification, salvation, holiness. That was the sermon. I could not look for. Oh. But as I grew in the word and came to realize the truth found in Christ, it affected my experience. So the word of God will change your experience. But your experience does not always mean that is the reality. The reality is what the word says. Say, my reality is what the word says. So salvation is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. One time I was watching a video with a friend, and then a guy gave an altar call. People were laughing as they came out, you know, to receive the gospel. Say, It's not a serious talk. Why are they laughing? We feel that you are serious when you go. That's true salvation. You go for evangelism, and then the guy says, all right, I've heard you. You've heard me. That's all. Let me warn you. Hell is real. I've been there before. No. The gospel is not meant to tickle people's feelings. The gospel is a fact, a spiritual reality. So, the first thing we need to realize about our lives as believers is that we have a supernatural origin. The new birth is a supernatural fact. Your feelings may not accept it initially, but eventually it will. You see, so you see that. It's a supernatural reality. And the moment we think salvation and people changing tattoo, changing their head, we have taken their minds off Christ. Totally off Christ. There was a church years back of some guys who received the gospel, and they were hippies, American hippies. And then they had long hair and all the stuff like that, and they had tattoos all over them. Why am I saying tattoo a lot today? They got all that on their bodies. As they came into a church, as soon as the pastor saw them, it's someone changed. If you think that God has said to the way you are, you're lying. Most of them, they don't have a sermon, they're always reacting. God is the holy God. You have two sides, the lion and the lamb. In his lamb state, he will die for your sins. In his lion state, he will kill you for it. He harassed those guys till they left the service. You know, some farmers and the guy is preaching and he's not looking at you. He's preaching, he's telling you about something business. And he's preaching so hard till all of them, about seven of them, left the service. What is this? We just came in now and the farmer changed. At that point, they were still smoking weed. Eh? So they said, weed. In your heart, you're going, weed. Born weed. Oh. They were still smoking weed. But a guy went out to them. He knew they were born again. He taught them the gospel. Started teaching them. Till one of them, I don't know about the others, but one of them pastored one of the largest churches in North America. Just because someone showed him the truth. There are so many people who have been chased away from serving the Lord because of a wrong explanation, wrong doctrine. Wrong doctrine. Hallelujah. You see, before you talk to someone, how does God see him? You know, you can see a prostitute and God will see a saint. How does God see the person? Because one of the ways you know you are growing spiritually is how, when you start having the judgment of God. What do I mean by that? When you start seeing things with the eyes of God, in his sight. He says we are holy and blameless in his sight. That is, that's how he sees us. So if I'm growing in the Word, I begin to see the way God sees. Now, does it mean God endorses the weak? No. But God has accepted them. And with that fact, it begins to change their habits. Are you still there? So, who the Word says you are is who you are. Who the Word says you are is who you are. It's not an experiential fact. Even though it eventually gets into your experience, it is a spiritual reality. Say again, I'm who the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. Say, I am born by the Spirit. I have a supernatural origin in Christ Jesus. Follow this one. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The one who wrote details there. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. See what he calls it? Spiritual blessings. Or blessings of the Spirit. In the heavenlies, he used spiritual terminology, non-elite terminology. He said spiritual blessings, pneumaticus, pulegitus. Then he says, in heavenly places, or heavenly, heavenly, that is, it's non-material. It's not a feeling. So everything he says is not a feeling. He says he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Say, I am holy and blameless before him in love. That's not a feeling, that's a spiritual reality. Hallelujah. He says, if predestinated us to be adopted to the children of Jesus Christ, that is not a feeling. He said, he has accepted us into the beloved. That is not a feeling. It's a spiritual fact. He said, we have forgiveness of sins in his blood according to the riches of his grace. It's not a prayer point. It's a spiritual reality. Are you still there? I am who he says I am. You need to realize that. So when you hear sermons about something that is not in the Word, you don't bother your head. That's not you. If I call your name, you respond. If I don't call your name, you don't respond. So if they're saying something, they say, some of you, God has forsaken you. You just laugh. That's not you. Is that your name? You are called accepted. So it's when I call your name, you respond. If I don't call your name, for example, somebody says, some of you respond. Sissy, is that your name? When they say struggle, you look back. Even if there are four struggles there. When they say, son of the devil, you don't respond. Sinner, you don't respond. When they say forsaken by God, you don't respond. When they say accepted, you say yes. Forgiven, yes. Pray for forgiveness. You keep walking. Ask God to be holy. You walk faster. There is another cause. You run. When you say blessed, you come back. So you respond to the reality in the world. When you respond like that, your feelings will now match up with it. So, if you keep hearing the word on Sunday, then during the week you go and get a daily version on your WhatsApp. Word for today. It's really for today. But look at the reality. I don't need a word for today. I need eternal words. The one that was true, is true, will remain true. That does not respect my feelings. That eternal word. Hallelujah. I'm who he says I am. He says in verse 13, Ephesians 1, he says, he gave us that Holy Spirit of promise, how he sealed us. Ephesians 1, 13. Are you in church? With that Holy Spirit of promise. He says, and he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. He sealed us. The word seal is the word phragizo. It means a proof of ownership. God owns me. He gave us the earnest, which is the word elabon. You know that already. The guarantee. The proof of value. How can you have the Holy Spirit and you are responding to not forgiving? The Holy Spirit in you is a proof of the fact that you have an eternal acceptance with God. You respond positively to that. Anything other than that, you respond negatively. So I was born supernatural. I live a supernatural life. That's why he now prays. He prays that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. God does not pray that your experience will change. He prays that your perception should change. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And that's why I believe that what will change many things about Christianity in Nigeria is not fighting people on social media. No! No, 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 no. It's not posting people's videos to mock them. We are not in a theater. It's to pray that the word of God will grow. That men's eyes will be opened. and they fold that up like Paul said, that when you read, you may understand. So we'll pray, then we'll write. We'll pray, then we'll preach. Not mock people. That's childish. Paul would have done that when we were younger. But childish. Let your eyes be open. Every time I hear people say, we got a hold of your books. And oh my. We've changed our entire ministry. I've read Bible colleges say they changed the entire curriculum. That's what we're paying for. Not mocking people. We're praying that their experiences will change. We pray that their perceptions will change. Hallelujah. We pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his coming. And what the glory of the root of inheritance in the saints. Brother Hagin and E.W. Kenyon agree, and I agree too, that in Ephesians 1, 16 to 23, contains the most powerful prayers in the Bible. Jesus didn't pray that way. This was the most powerful prayer. And then verse 14, chapter 3, to verse 21. You can't find any prayer more powerful, allow me to use that term, in the Bible. I still pray that prayer for myself this morning. I keep praying it for myself. Let my eyes be open. To see myself in Christ. Hallelujah. Because if our life is supernatural, if what we have is supernatural, the knowledge of it cannot be natural. You cannot contact the things of the Spirit by the flesh. If the things of the Spirit didn't come by experience, you can't get it by experience. It has to be by revelation. Your eyes being opened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's not a once and for all prayer. So I cease not, that's what Paul said. I cease not to pray for you. So in Paul said, I cease not to pray for you. I will not cease to pray for myself. I'll pray for those I know. Sometimes you can get emotional. You find a sibling or brother who has a habit, maybe a homosexual, which is a sinful habit. Then you get emotional, you just this is not me. Don't get to the flesh. I remember years ago, I had someone like that who was a preacher who got a hold of a wrong habit, homosexuality. And I was so angry. Angry. James would say, the wrath of man walketh not the righteousness of God. I was just angry. Then somebody was more elderly to us in the faith. He said, why are you angry? Sometimes some of us were angry. Are you angry for God? You don't. He said, why are you angry? He said, you are getting emotional. Because he's your friend. You know him. He said, if it was somebody you didn't know personally, you wouldn't have been angry. I said, it's true. So what would you have done if the fellow was not close with you like that? That you somebody you know. I said, I would have prayed for him. I said, that's what you should do. That the eyes of his understanding be enlightened. That he will know what he has in Christ. When he begins to walk. I'm very sure we have not prayed enough for many believers. We talk about them. We have gist over them in the flesh. We have forgotten that their lives are supernatural. And the only ways we can get them to adjust their lives is getting them to see as God sees them. Hallelujah. Shall I pray for believers? Shall I pray for believers? I don't gossip about believers. I don't mock believers. I don't talk in a condescending manner. Come on, in a condescending manner about believers. He says, I pray that your eyes be flooded with light. With light. 1994 into 1995. From December to January. I prayed that Ephesians prayer accurately every day 5 hours. From December, late December to early January. As I was praying, I was reading E.W. Kenyon books. I was praying that prayer. But Hagin said, he had prayed that all night over 1,000 times. To the next day, I said, wow, I need to pray this prayer. So that I start having dual experiences in Christianity. Pray that prayer. Because if the new birth is supernatural, your knowledge of it has to be supernatural. Are you in church? Are you in church? So you know supernatural activity by the Holy Spirit. Or better still, by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2. His salvation is supernatural. The knowledge of it has to be by revelation. Say again, salvation is supernatural. The knowledge of it has to be by revelation. I started feeling somehow. That's not salvation. 1 Corinthians 2. You learning something? 1 Corinthians 2. So the first vital truth about living supernaturally is that I have to know supernaturally. I have to know supernaturally. I can't afford to know naturally what is supernatural in origin. 1 Corinthians 2:15. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What do you mean, no man? In verse 9, he has said, I have not seen nor hear heard, neither has entered the heart of man, the things that God had prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of a man, except the Spirit of a man which is in him? He will say, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm known by the Spirit of God. Now we have received these things. Not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are fully given to us of God. How do we know what God gave us? By experience? By experience? By people's testimonies? No, by the Spirit of God. That's what he says. Look at the next verse. He says, with things also we speak. Not in the words of man's wisdom teacher, but with the Holy Ghost, he says, compare spiritual things with spiritual. Compare what? With spiritual. Sometimes people will teach in church, and all the examples they will give are unbelievers. Because of wealth, money, science, and ideas. You are lowering the life of the believer that way. The heroes of Christianity are not businessmen. They are not business mongols. They are not president of nations. The heroes of Christianity are men and women that move with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That walk in their right and inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah. The heroes of Christianity are not the men of Forbes magazine. No! The heroes of Christianity are men who have given their lives to the gospel of Christ. Men who have come to know who they are in Christ. What belongs to them and what they can do. Those are the heroes of Christianity. Those are the men we emulate. Are you still there? So he says, but the natural man, verse 14, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all these things. Say, so I judge those things. I am spiritual. I am born of the Spirit. Say, so yet himself is judged of no man. Who is the no man there? The natural man. The natural man doesn't know who you are. Hey! Those are true Christians. Even the unbelievers are saying that's a true Christian. A true church. A true church. That's a true church. They are tying roads, giving out textbooks, giving people school uniforms. That's a true church. Not just be preaching, praying, and laying hands, and people are. A true church will give our indomie. A true church. No! The true church is no supernatural. Unbelievers are not the ones that know you. No. Flesh and blood, he says, have not revealed this unto you. So you judge all things. Hallelujah. What are the all things? The things that you have freely received of God. You know them spiritually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have the capacity to know the things of God. Say that again. Say, I have the capacity to know the things of God. I have the capacity to know the things of God. I receive in Christ spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is mine in Christ. I am not that in spiritual things. I'm not an illiterate in spiritual things. I know the things of the Spirit of God. I am not that in the things of the Spirit. I am born by the Spirit. I know the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why we can't carry handkerchief and call it the Holy Ghost. We are not that. We cannot carry oil, bottle of oil, call it the Holy Ghost. We are not that. We know the things of the Spirit of God. Because when we talk about the Spirit of God, we say He lives in us. Not in a bottle, not in an auntie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not that spiritual. We know the things of the Spirit of God. We know the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We know the things of the Spirit of God. They are no longer experienced, even though they are previous experiences. Praise God. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. You see, as I came out that morning, I was perceiving something. My leg just itched before Farah. My right leg. I was going to my car. My leg hit my car. I said, something is happening. What is all that? We are not superstitious. We are supernatural. Don't be superstitious. Your car hit your gate early in the morning. And the gate fell down. Say, what does this mean? Gate fell down, car hit. Go and repair the car, repair the gate. I perceive. It's just a feeling. A feeling of an experience. But I'm who the world says I am. So Paul says you will pray. Say, I pray for you that God will grant to you, Ephesians 1:16, wisdom that is spiritual. Sophos or Sophia. In the knowledge of Him. Wisdom and revelation, apocalypse, the power of prayer, in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding, the word knowledge is what epignosis, exact knowledge. There are some knowledge that is epignosis. You say, Jesus Christ, He died for your sins and is angry at you, He's not forgiving you. The first knowledge is correct, the second knowledge is contradictory, so it's not epignosis, it's apognosis. Epignosis is correct. I saw a book by a man that I respect. I don't respect what he preaches, I just respect him. The man wrote a book on believers. And he said, Colossians 1:13, that was the opening statement. Colossians 1:13 says that, who are delivered us from the power of darkness? He wrote it there. So we know this in the Bible, but in reality, in the book. The man may lead thousands of people, but he's a confused person. And when you have a confused preacher, he breeds confused people. Exactly. There are many preachers toward the end of their lives, they now start recounting the things they preached. What about the men who have been confused? The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you will know. Precise knowledge. Precise knowledge. Hallelujah. Somebody has committed a sin. Biblically, it's a sin. You rebuke him, yet affirming what God says about him. For he know ye not. Talking to people who are giving their bodies to prostitutes, said, know ye not. That your body should be, no, your body is. In other words, the moment I say you are not, the parent cannot be with the product, he's the producer. But glory to God, the producer produces a perfect product. You may misuse the product. You may underuse the product. You may abuse the product. But the product came out perfect. We came from God perfect. He gave us all we ever needed. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So it says your eyes be opened. So since you are born by the Spirit, your knowledge has to be supernatural. Hallelujah. Has to be supernatural. Beyond your experience. So you will pray. In Philemon 6, are you learning something? Philemon 6 said that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. That the sharing of your faith, Romania, may become effective. It's always ongoing. And the next time I receive Christ, the very next day, another someone told me that it's not fully Christ. By the Wednesday, if someone always told me what I needed to do, 14 keys, 18 doors, 46 ways, 66 expressways. One day I just sat down somewhere. I said, now, God, what exactly do you want? Be straightforward. When I'm about to start doing the top key or the sixth key, they bring another door. This was 18 doors. So I said, When Moses gave them the gospel, he said, you will say with your mouth and your heart. So however, if you will not follow this one, it is 612 laws. 612, how many can remember 612 things? But you can remember the gospel. In simple terms. 12 laws. How you shave your hair. Many of you have hair straight. Shave your hair. How you do? How you wear? Some of you, why should not put on what pertains to a woman? What pertains to a woman? You didn't wear trousers then. You didn't wear trousers then? Did you not write that the men wore skirts? They should not put on what pertains to a woman. The same scripture, the same chapter, how that you must not wear a shirt of two colors. You are holy. You can't even wear one or two materials, cotton and what do you call that? Polyester? Hell. For glory be to God. We have precise understanding. We are not men who are disobedient to the gospel. He says the law was given to those who disobeyed the gospel. We have obeyed the gospel. That form of doctrine delivered unto us. Hallelujah. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Here I couldn't share one story, very powerful story. He said, he had done something very horrible and wrong. As he was going to preach, he had the devil say to him, you preach, you are not worthy of the gospel. How would you do such a thing and you want to preach? He said, just remember the word, there is therefore now no condemnation to the man that is in Christ Jesus. Then he went to the pulpit, he said, he had one of the greatest moves of the Spirit in that service. You are not preaching well. You see, the Spirit of God did not move because throughout the week you did nothing wrong. No. He moved because you are the Son of God. That's what it is. Never qualify what God did not qualify. Did you hear me? I'm what He says I am. I'm who He says I am. I am what He says I am. Glory to God. Romans 8:1 is a scripture people should read every day. There's therefore now no condemnation. Paul, in that chapter, got to a point. What shall we say then to these things? You know, when you read Paul, when I read Paul, I just drop the Bible and say, He said, what shall we say to these things? I was talking to some Jews about Christ, their rabbis. The guy said, you are talking as though Paul was alive. Because they never liked Paul's letters. So I went to the Old Testament and explained righteousness to them. I said, wow. I said, Paul was talking to us. I said, well, Paul never spoke. It was Christ speaking through Paul. Jesus led this earth with many sermons that he never preached. But he gave them to the heart of Paul. They are all written in his letters. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And therefore now, no condemnation. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, is not who, is what can be against us. He who spared not his own son. Look at the argument. He said, he who spared not his own son. If you agree with that, that he was the one that sent Jesus, how shall he not with him? How shall he? It's taking you to think about it too now. How shall he not with him? Freely give us of all this. He said, so you want to ask, who is he that condemned? I will tell you. Hallelujah. I am who he says I am. Glory to God. The believer is not decided in human terms. He has been decided already. I'm who he says I am. So this knowledge is known and communicated supernaturally. Remember 2 Kings 16. Sorry, 2 Kings 6, 16 to 20. When that servant said to Elijah, those that are with us, they surrounded the mountain. He said, come on. So I prayed to God. to open your eyes. To open your eyes. And you will see that those that are with us are more than those that are against us. As the guy's eyes are open, let me go and sleep. Sometimes the reason why we are jittery is because we are in the senses. If your eyes open, you will sleep. If your eyes open, you'll be confident. Just like that servant. You are looking at the natural. If your eyes, you know he could have run away. Because all he saw was in the natural. He was like, hey, I won't die with Elisha. And he will run out and die. Praise the Lord. Many things that we are afraid of are not true. They are just not true. The word of God is true. So, we live supernaturally by firstly knowing who we are supernaturally. 1 John 3, are close from there. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. 1 John 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us. That's an instruction. You know, behold that instruction. That instruction. That means every day of your life, you must see it. Wake up in the morning. There are times I just woke up at night. And all I say is, God loves me. I'm his son. That's all. So behold, what manner of love. So people sing it in their songs, in their hymnals, but it's not in their sermons. Behold, what manner of love. And so they are complaining. The Father has given unto us. But then we must not toy with this grace. This thing that we are just saying is a grace. But shall we continue in sin? First of all, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called sons of God, son of God today. He said, therefore, the world knoweth us not. Not because of what we don't do, because it knew him not. The way Jesus was not recognized in 3.5 years or 3.5 years, that's the same way an unbeliever cannot recognize you. It's not for what he did not do or what he did. It's because you don't know him after the flesh. So the world doesn't know us because the world did not know him. Beloved, he says, now are we the sons of God. Serve the Son of God. Now are we the sons of God. I taught this in 1995 for 8 months. Twice a week. 8 months. Now are we the sons of God. 9 months. No. No, I finished it in November. I started in February. That's how many months? 10 months. Every week, twice. Now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. When you are done with that series, you will know you are a son of God. Hallelujah. Now are we the sons of God. It says, yet, it does not yet appear what we shall be. He uses the word he uses there for appear. Pay attention. It's the word tenaru. That is, people can't see it in the flesh. It's used for appearance. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. He's not talking about who we are. He's talking about how men will see us. Our physical appearance. Well, chapter 4, verse 17. We're in the physical, but just like everybody. Some unbelievers are finer than you. You don't want to agree. You better agree. Some think better than you. Some are more handsome. Some speak better grammar. Because it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when it shall appear, we shall be at ease in our appearance. Not in our spirit. But chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. How do I know these things? I know it by the word. You know the supernatural not by observation. No, you know it by revelation. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Don't conclude anything by observation. Conclude by revelation. Sometimes your observation
may be strange and different, but your revelation is the word. I am who he says I am. And I'm making progress. You know, I'm making progress. Making progress in the word. I'm doing the word. My eyes are opening. I was born supernaturally. I live supernaturally. I walk in this supernatural life. Hallelujah. You bless this afternoon.